Hello, podcasting friends, and welcome to episode 5 of Digital Marketing from the Trenches, live at the Hive. It's also episode 133 of our live stream. You can catch us on Facebook, Periscope, and YouTube. Today, we are talking about webinars, how to set them up, how to structure them, how to platform, how to market them, and how to use webinars to engage your leads and prospects and really create a community and nurture your leads into customers. And we are live. There we go. We're live. Yeah. Yes, we are live.
Okay. Awesome.
Delayed reaction. Hi, everybody. I'm Dan Adelko. Welcome to episode 133 of Digital Marketing from the Trenches. Episode 133. I think I already said that. And today I'm joined by...
I'm Miguel Morales.
Matt Stefanich.
Producer Matt. Mm-hmm. How is everybody's... COVID-y world on fire week?
You know, it's all right, but could be better. I think a lot of people are tired right now. There's been a lot of action on social media within the past couple days, and I think everyone's kind of happy that Friday's here. You can kind of tune it out a little bit if you want to
breathe.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, today we are not going to talk about any of those things. Today, what we are going to talk about, though, is the importance of webinars, how you can use webinars for your business, regardless of who you are, and why it's important, and then actually how to do it, right? We're gonna come back into how to do that as well.
Yep.
So why don't we get kicked off here? Hi, everybody. We've got April, Yvonne, Chad, Stacy. We'll let people start flowing on in. So, Matt, we've done a few webinars over the last couple of weeks. We've got several more coming up. Mm-hmm. So webinars are a really great way to engage with your customers, with your leads, with your audience. You can attract new leads, but it's really great as kind of a middle and bottom of funnel experience to really connect with your prospects, because someone that's going to commit a half hour to an hour with you is obviously very, very interested in what it is that you've got going on.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Kind of cool on Facebook Live now. I don't know if you noticed that it's auto captioning. There you go.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, we got a little bit of bounciness happening on you guys here. See if I can fix that. All right, so why don't we just jump into it? Let's see here. There we go. Let me just make a little adjustment here. So our first article is why you should use webinars to generate leads and who's doing it right. So there's a few different things in here in terms of... Matt, I'm not sure, did you pick this one up? You can walk through it if you want.
Pick that one up. Which one is it?
The impact article.
Yeah. So you're breaking up there a little bit.
Oops, sorry. Hopefully our NDI holds up today. Then I won't have to jump through hoops again. So
yeah, absolutely.
So when we're looking at what we should be doing with webinars and why webinars, and I think we need to make the distinction for a lot of people, one that webinars are not live streams, and webinars are not group meetings or Zoom meetings. There's a distinct difference between how the format works, how you run it, and the platforms that you use for doing these types of things. So Matt, I think you're probably most familiar with Webinar Jam.
Yeah, for sure. Webinar Jam is a platform that we've been using for, I'd probably say, around over a year now for some of the webinars we've been doing for our clients. And it gives us a unique opportunity to engage with the participants of the webinar a little bit more than you would with other platforms that maybe cost exuberant amounts of money, right? So it's a great way to host the webinars, engage with your audience, but also utilize your webinars after they've gone live as well. And there's a seamless transition between that, which is excellent for people looking to start webinars themselves.
Yeah, for sure. I made a little bit of a flub here. I'm going to have to fix this. Give me 1 second. It'll take
no
me.
No worries.
You know what? It's all organic. That's how we roll. That's how we roll. There we
it's
go.
Authentic.
It's authentic. There we go. Now I'm fixed up. So yeah, I've got Webinar Jam up on the screen. And look, you know, there's lots of different options for people all over the map in terms of what, you know, what your price point is, how often you're going to run webinars. You can go from the old school of GoToWebinar, which is decent. I was on hosting a webinar a couple of weeks ago that they still use Webinar Jam, or not Webinar Jam, GoToWebinar, I should say. And that is, it's fully capable. It shows its age just a little bit. You know, it's definitely been around for a very long time. It's almost a 20-year-old platform. So it's definitely something that it shows its age. It's also, you got to be careful. Webinar platforms can become increasingly expensive depending on how many attendees you're going to have.
Yeah.
That's the first thing to really consider. The second thing to really, really think about and to really consider is integrations.
Yeah.
And this gets into a little bit more technical marketing. And if you have any webinar questions, please feel free to toss them into the chat. We'll be able to help answer any questions you may have. But your mileage may vary based on what you need. But one of the most important things, I think, to stress here is you should be trying to integrate your webinar platform with your email marketing automation, your leads database, so that you've got, hey, we cat invasion.
Always. You just woke up from a nap.
No, that's the life. That is the life.
Yeah.
So up here right now, I've got Webinar Jam. And look, the reason that there's your mileage may vary. There's a lot of different platforms out there that can host webinars that will allow you to do registrations. For a price point perspective and the features that you would need, Webinar Jam is a really solid way to go. It's actually quite inexpensive if you pay on an annualized basis. You know, it comes out to just over $100 a month, or just under, actually. And you can run unlimited webinars. You know, and then if we go check out, there's all sorts of different platforms. If you're looking for something a little bit more on the B2B side, there's Engage Webinars, which is powered by Western and Trotto. All of these have mobile-first experiences, no app downloads, easy to get in. And I think the other thing to really consider in terms if we're talking about just platforming now for a second, accessibility. You've got to make sure that your leads can get in, hopefully without a mobile app download, ideally would be the best, because people just have so much trouble, you know, installing one app to visit one webinar, for example. That's kind of the first thing to consider. And again, and there's all sorts. Zoom has some webinar features. But Zoom is actually more of a meeting platform, an online meeting platform, as opposed to necessarily what kind of features you get inside of a webinar platform specifically. And with, you know, with a webinar platform, it's a different notion here. We're also going to talk a little bit later about different webinar formats that you can use in your marketing to take care of stuff. But just starting with the one thing is webinars are few to many, like one to many, or two or three or four or five or six to many. So you have a big audience of hundreds, maybe thousands, versus an online meeting where it's a much more open format where people can speak, right? Even if there's 50 people, right? So it's very different. And I think just be careful that you don't conflate or mistake an online meeting platform with a webinar platform. They're two very different things, and they serve two very different purposes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hi, James. Thanks for joining us. I didn't see James say anything, but welcome. Okay. So from a platforming perspective, you've got GoToWebinar, Webinar Jam, Engage Webinars. At the top end, you've got some enterprise tools like ON24. Again, you're getting into very expensive price points when you go there. So I would suggest, just if you're looking to start simply, you know,
yeah,
you get your feet wet and get in there and start and just start producing, right?
For sure. It's the same as producing live content or video content on social, right? It's definitely first step is get your feet wet with a really great platform for a really great price. And then eventually, if you do need something enterprise level or something even higher than that, there's definitely options for you to go to, for sure.
Right. Yeah. So let's get into so we talk a little bit about the platforming. And again, if you have any questions, we're happy to answer if you're thinking about what platform will work for you. If you guys have the Impact marketing strategy article up, this is why you should use webinars to generate your leads and who's doing it right. And we can maybe roll through a little bit of that. Okay. So first point is obviously it establishes brand trust and authority. This can't be understated. Whatever you do, you are an expert, and that's what you're trying to convey to your audience. So webinars are a great way, and consistent webinars are a great way to really reinforce this and build up that level of brand trust.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, with consistent webinars, I mean, people are going to be attending the webinars more frequently. You're going to be able to drive people down that funnel further and further, but you're also going to be able to get maybe more engagement as you start creating more frequent webinars. You know what I mean? People are going to be attending the webinar more frequently. They're going to be getting used to the hosts of the webinar, and they might feel a bit more comfortable to ask more insightful questions later on, maybe their second webinar, third webinar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And this is something that we talk about a lot, is that digital marketing is a marathon and not a sprint. Consistency is incredibly important. If you can swing it, a webinar a month is a great way to you know, it's kind of like, if, you know, this maybe isn't a dated analogy, but during the heyday of primetime, you knew that Cheers was on Thursdays at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. It just wasn't like we're randomly one day we're going to pick when it's going to show up, right?
Yeah.
And same thing with your webinar program, although we'll talk about simulated live and on-demand a little bit later. I think one of the things is, and you make a great point there, Matt, is we do it with email as well, is like, be consistent, nurture your audience, give them good information they can use. Don't just pushing out promos, and that consistency will make all the difference in the world.
Sure.
Cool. Another really strong reason for this is generating higher quality leads. And I think the important thing here is really using, so what we talk about a lot is, you know, you got to build up your leads database. That's when you own that leads database, you're not paying Google, you're not paying Facebook, you're not paying LinkedIn, to acquire a series of leads that you can then nurture through conversation, contents, all of that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So where we like to use webinars, you can use them at the top of the funnel. You sure can. But I would suggest that in the middle of the funnel where you have people that are engaged is a great way to go. So you can start your lead generation at top of funnel more inexpensively. You know, one strategy, Matt, I know that you've done a ton of this, and Miguel, you've worked on it, is lead magnets.
Yep.
Right? Yep. So high quality free giveaways that get people into your leads database, and then move people into that webinar, and then you're not paying to get people in. It's not atypical to find that if you're doing top of funnel webinar promotion to a cold audience, you're going to be about $30 to $60 a lead.
For sure. Yeah, and I think it's important. I mean, April says, if someone, April said in chat, if someone takes the time to watch and attend your webinar, they're probably a very strong lead, and that's a very good point. I think if you're a business that's looking to invest or begin a webinar program, think of it this way. Yes, there's going to be really qualified leads when you actually produce and broadcast the webinar. However, from start to finish, it's going to be a great way for you to take a really great leads list or build a leads list and really kind of thin it out a little bit. You know what I mean? There's going to be people that attend the webinar that are going to be really great leads, but then there's going to be people who are even better leads. The people who have been chatting throughout your webinar consistently, people who are asking multiple questions, people who maybe you can't really get to their questions right at the front. And then there's going to be people who maybe interacted with your emails really well in the very beginning, but they couldn't attend your webinar. So what's the plan for them, right? So I think a lot of times you get businesses and people who want to invest in webinars, I think you kind of have to think of it like, yes, there's going to be really great sales opportunities for people who were engaged in your webinar, but what's your sales opportunities for the people who are still engaged, who are still a quote-unquote strong lead, but might not have gone to watch the webinar, right? So it's a vast variety of building leads and the types of leads that you engage with when you begin producing a webinar, at least from what I've found working on them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think you kind of touched on it there. Your webinar program can fit into various points in that customer journey. And we're going to go through all of the huge benefits of webinars and where you can insert them into that journey. And I think that's the important thing to talk about is quite often when we work with clients that are new to it, it's kind of like a premier event. They kind of look at it like we're going to premiere our webinar and then we're all going to go, good job, everybody, and then move on, right? And do one 6 months later.
Yeah.
That's not the right way to approach it. No. I think to approach it in more of a serial kind of series manner is a really good way to look at it. Kind of like we do with our lives, right? Like, I mean, in a sense, they're episodic. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're going to dive deep into this. Pretty much everything we're talking about today is all about webinars. So we've got a ton to kind of, there's a lot to chew on there, to put it that way.
For sure. Yeah. Just kind of on that point, might be able to segue us into the next portion of this. You know, when you have a webinar strategy and you're promoting a webinar, like we said beforehand, frequency is going to be a really key point, and maybe once a week is a little bit too much when you're first starting off. But look, like if you do a webinar once a month, it's going to give you time to produce the webinar and plan for it. But most importantly, it's going to give you time to go through that the video of the webinar that you posted and grab some social clips, like we do with Live at the Hive, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to allow you to kind of weed out any of the maybe the less engaging clips of your webinar and really promote the really engaging parts so that you can promote those on social and get people to come to your webinar next month. And then it's a rinse and repeat type of process. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to get into how to structure a webinar presentation to keep people engaged for that entire time period, and I think this is a lot like meetings. For some reason, people have it in their heads that like every meeting needs to be 1 hour long. And webinars are typically kind of viewed that way, that they have to be an hour. And that's not true at all. We've certainly done 1 hour webinars, but we've done 45 minute webinars, 30 minute, 20 minute webinars. And you can even do a 15 minute webinar. They actually can be really effective because smaller, shorter, more snackable, easier to digest, you can produce more and more easily. And like you mentioned there, and I know Miguel, you've done a ton of this, is how we use it to supplement content marketing.
I really like live streams and webinars because depending on how you present, it can just go on and on for however long you want. It's a corner piece. It's a cornerstone piece of content that you can branch off blogs, infographics, just clips. We do that a lot with live. We take them and also just do them to audio clips as well through Wave. It's endless. So just like you were saying earlier, like when we're talking about taking them down the journey and like in the funnel, it's like you can take that piece where you may have been more effective, like when they're like more qualified, and use that to generate more leads.
Yes. And that's hugely important. I think it's kind of like a recurring theme that we talk about on Live at the Hive, is how you really need to create this cornerstone content, because you can spin it out into so many different pieces of content to really help your content marketing efforts make sense, be consistent. And it's just, it's easier to do it this way, right?
Yeah.
Up on the screen right now, I've got, we actually just did one, a fairly successful, everybody was happy, the client was happy. We did a webinar. And out of that, we've got, I think we've got about a dozen medium, not medium, I still call them short, 2 to 3 minute video clips, at least 16 waveform audio clips, which are kind of cool. Tons of social media posts that we can put out there. We've got a webinar. We're just doing a replay to allow people to view it on demand whenever they want with no time limitation. And yeah, it's just, it's such a, that 45 minutes to 1 hour piece of content is a treasure trove of content for you to reuse. And if you're a marketer and if you're trying to figure it out, and look, you know what, I think the other thing, I feel like B2B has typically kind of said, yeah, webinars are where we should be. But given the rise of everything, right, in terms of like Zoom and Zoom calls, which is what, you know, people are really referring to, is you could be anybody doing a series of webinars, right? Mm-hmm. And you really should be, because it gives you this huge opportunity to position yourself as that domain expert when you're talking to your audience and keeping them really engaged. Yeah, and there's a couple of other cool things. Obviously, and this with a series of clients, especially during COVID, it's been, you know, unfortunately, live events just gone, right? So there's online meetings, but now webinars are a really great way to get around this, because there is a much more personalized element to a webinar as well, right?
For sure.
Yeah, it humanizes the information being given to you. It's not just like, as much as we like appraise like infographics and stuff like that, now it's like, oh, this expert's telling me this. Yeah, I definitely can trust him, just like we said earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. And you know, it eliminates geographic barriers. You could be you can have obviously it can be international. You can do whatever you want. The other nice thing about it now that I would really encourage everybody that's in a business to do is to, so now things are starting to open up. I don't know what, do you guys know what got opened up today? I didn't catch it, but.
I don't think it's non-essential businesses are still kind of unopened. I know like hair salons and things like that, they're still unopened, but I think like dentist office, massage professionals, they're allowed to open up their practices right now with certain restrictions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Nice. As things start to open up and things will come back and there will be this new normal, I think it's a perfect time to create this hybrid version of your live events. And it really does come down to, and it's, you know, again, it's unfortunate how badly the live events industry was impacted, but I think there's time to think about diversification of your marketing strategy. And yes, you will be able to do live events, but also pair it with a webinar, and keep those webinars going as consistently as a lot of businesses were doing, like live events. You can do both, and you can hybridize them so that if there is a second wave of this happening and you're forced into a scenario, then you're not caught flat-footed. You've still got the ability to kind of move forward and continue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Someone on that social team is saying St. Jacob's Farmer Market opened up today, I believe yesterday. Well, that's good. That's
nice.
Good. Oh, nice.
So cool.
Sorry, go ahead. I think like the Kitchener Market's also been up downtown, so we're slowly getting back to it, but ways to go for sure.
Oh, for sure. For sure. The other thing here, and we're through one article on here. And this is an important one. It's important to, you know, we've begun doing the interview process and developing partnerships with people by interviewing them. But hosting a webinar and developing a partnership and having a guest on is a fantastic way to, one, you can double up your audience, because, you know, look, if it's a real estate agent and a mortgage broker, for example, right? If I'm a real estate agent and Miguel, you're a mortgage broker, I invite you to come on to talk about how to refinance your mortgage, what you need to do. Well, you'll have your leads, I'll have my leads. And in the YouTube world, this is kind of the old collab kind of notion.
Oh, man.
Well, we had a little glitch there on the NDI. Oh, did we lose Miguel?
No, I'm right here.
No, I'm right here.
Let's see.
Okay, it looks like the live is back now.
Yeah. Whoop.
Had a little.
I think it's just a little bit of hiccups.
Okay. A little bit of a hiccup. This will be the nice thing when we can do live at the Hive from the office for those with flakier internet connections. You're back now, Miguel. That's all good. I think it looked worse for you than it did for everybody else because you just glitched out for about 5 seconds on this side. So that's good. Okay, so yes, partnership opportunities and collaborations are incredibly important. A great way to kind of double up your audience. Okay.
Are you there?
Yes, you guys can't hear me, but I can hear you, so don't worry about it. So moving right along, what we're going to do is we're just going to jump into...
Okay, I got you.
So you've decided to do your webinar, you've decided to put it on. Not sure what happened to Matt there, but that's okay. Let's see here. Give me 1 second. So the first thing you want to be able to... There we go. And they're back. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Good stuff. Miguel, you might want to back up just a wee bit. Top of your head is chopped off on the live. Okay, so we are at the point now of you're going to put together your webinar, pick a topic. A couple of things just quickly to touch on is creating a format and think about the format of engagement. So don't go into a 20-minute session of just continuously talking. Break it up. Mm-hmm. Add polls, add downloads. We're going to show you, Miguel and the team worked on the email cadence. We've got a swipe file for you that you can grab from Google Drive. You guys can throw up that link there. Then what we're going to look at here, and I'll pull it up now, is the... Miguel, if you need to turn off your camera to get your audio, that's totally cool. You can do that. So this webinar promotional email plan is a little bit hard to see. Maybe I can do this. Doop, doo, doo. Then I'll zoom it in. There we go. All right. So that should be full screen now. Now, The important thing here, this looks a little bit crazy. It looks a little bit complicated. But what it is actually simpler than it seems. And this is what we call segmentation in an email campaign. And it's important because it can literally triple the performance of your email campaign and of your webinar campaign. And in fact, it can increase the performance of any email campaign if you use this strategy. Okay. So what we're going to go over here, and so we just have this kind of full screen now, and I'll just expand on it a bit here. All right. So the first thing you want to do is we have this, and we'll post this up so you guys can grab it. The intro offer with an added benefit. So you want to actually make it really enticing for your audience. And why would you want to join this webinar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we define four different segments, right? Segment one, they did not open. Segment two, email opened. Segment three, email clicked. So obviously two and three. So if you clicked it, you opened it. So you're in both. And then segment four is our registered group there. And what we want to do is be able to send customized messages to each of these people at different stages in their journey, all with the goal of getting us into the webinar itself right here. Okay?
Yep.
So when we do the first intro offer to our leads, we then immediately segment it into people that, that obviously the people that registered, we put them into a specific cadence. We don't just stop talking to them. You want to kind of build it up like as if you were going to go to a concert or something and you're going with your friends and, you know, you're listening to whatever albums or songs getting ready to go. It's that kind of thing to keep that interest going because I think one of the things is people will forget, right? I don't know. Do you guys do this? You register for something, you buy something, you sign up for something.
Yep.
I've gotten a download from like the eShop and just forgot about it. I was like, oh, cool game.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to keep that going. And then what we want to do is we want to keep segmenting into did not opens versus opens, and keep and then segmenting to people that haven't registered, especially people that have clicked and not registered. That's an interesting dynamic for somebody. They're clicking through to a landing page. And just as a quick tip, if you are getting a lot of people that are clicking and not registering, then you really want to take a look at your landing page. There might be some friction there that you've got going on that is unintentional that you want to address as
for
well.
Sure.
Okay. Yep. So the idea here, and let me just fix this. I just have to zoom out. Is to never just send one email campaign, call it a day, and hope you get a bunch of registrations. Resending to these unopens will ensure that you literally will be able to double, triple, quadruple. We've done this many times over the years, and we've seen 4 times performance registration rates on the webinar when we use this process. And this is something we've used for quite a long time. This is not new.
No.
Yeah. Okay, let me just fix you here, Miguel. I think Rogers has been having issues. Are you Roger? Are you on Rogers, Miguel?
I think I'm Bell, actually.
Oh, yeah? Okay. There you go. Okay. So now that's the webinar promotion plan. I don't know, Miguel, you put this together here. Do you want to speak a little bit to some of these emails in here and some of the elements that you and the team put together?
Yeah. So basically, just going off the flowchart that we just showed you, it's just the idea of making sure that any of those people who do not open the email still get the opportunity to revisit and, you know, attend. And those who have, in fact, registered, they get the follow-up email saying thank you and just making sure that they also get, like you said, get pumped up. So, like, that's just the basics. But, like, going more into it, it's the idea of, you know, if you just get, like, a solid block of text, you're not going to read it. Yep. You know, there's something about the FOMO of it. You know, obviously, if you are going to present a webinar, there is value to it. So, you know, make it exclusive. Make them feel right about it. Make them want to go. Remind them that, you know, space is limited. It's here. Or, like, I don't want to say, like, it's do or die, but kind of, like, pressure it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just make them understand, like, this is something you want. And I think something else that is, like, really spoken to in this, at least, is making sure that they have opportunities to, you know, get to know the speaker before the event, you know, linking them to their social or any blogs or pieces that you could, like, preface them with, so they can come in, like, not prepared per se, but, you know, that they have an idea in their head, you know? Yeah. You wouldn't want to just walk into, like, a random, like, speech and be like, I don't know who's talking, but I guess I should care because it's in my industry. So that's something, like, really important. And then I think also if you go to, like, the bottom ones that are a little more, like, the thank you and the follow-up, any kind of package, or it's strongly suggested that when you're doing a webinar, you give something to your audience so they can engage with the topic that's being talked about. Just find a way that for the people who did come, they get that afterwards as well. So just to show, like, by the way, like, if you didn't get this in the comments, like, there is something on top of this so you can follow along. And then just make sure that for the people who didn't sign up, don't just leave them in the cold being like, oh, obviously you don't care. No, those are still leads. Make sure you give them the story and give them the opportunity again. It's like, here's a speaker. If you didn't know who it was, you weren't interested, you know, here's a little bit of something about them. And, you know, just give them, like, a link to just keep them warm still. Don't just disregard them just because they couldn't come this time. There are many factors, and just not being interested is not the top one. And then make sure once everything's done that you send out that last, this was a great event, thanks for coming. And you give that on demand because, again, it's the idea of making your content evergreen and reworking it. And then from there, on top of that, those people who didn't go, they get to now see, like, okay, well, this is what I missed. Next time I'll get to maybe ask questions, I'll get more insights and be, like, on the, like, forefront of, like, my industry.
Yeah, absolutely. So you touched on a whole bunch of stuff. So there's a bunch to unpack there. And just, these are examples. What you were talking about, urgency, scarcity, those are very important parts of any marketing campaign to really reinforce that, and you want to make sure that that's there. So one of the tools that we use, obviously, is Countdown Timer here. We use Deadline Funnel at deadlinefunnel.com. The cool thing about Deadline Funnel is that deadlinefunnel.com is an intelligent countdown timer. What it does is it allows you, if you're doing simulated live, if Matt, you start, if it's a 1 week thing, it's a countdown timer that's personalized to when you begin that funnel pro, when you go into that process. And Miguel, it'll be different for you if you go into that process, and it can add more intelligence to it. In its most basic form, it is a countdown timer. And as silly as it sounds, countdown timers work. They really do. They're live, and they count down by the second. So when someone opens up the email, there's motion and movement. The other thing, so there's that. The other thing too is, and Miguel, you touched on it, is be simple. The five W's: date, time, location, when, where, why. Right? Like that's what you need to do, and you need to do it quickly. And you can see that the team put together some samples here, but you could adapt this for whatever webinar topics you have and what the hottest topics are as well. The last one that I like is this, absolutely, is keeping in mind that one of the important things about webinars is that it's also a horizontal communication platform, right? There's it's not just vertical. It's not just you as a speaker speaking to an audience. The audience can also speak to each other. And when we have anywhere from 300 to 500 attendees, that chat is very, very active. And it's a really great way for your prospects to see that they're, you know, they're part of a dynamic community in a sense. Cool. So in terms of a few hosting tips, and we've got 7 minutes, we haven't even scratched the surface, to be honest with you.
Five-part series.
We should, since you guys did all this work, we should probably do a webinar on why you need to do really good webinars. We could easily put that together, actually. I don't think it would be too difficult. Just a couple of things. So now, you know, you've got a look at this funnel and this flow to maximize your registrations, giving people things of value. And I think the important thing is there's a lot of things you need to take into account. One of our good friends, Matthew Lay, who's been doing webinars for 20 some odd years, it talks a lot about the importance of your presenter. You know, sometimes subject matter experts are not the best presenters. That's true. Right? So having a host that maybe isn't the expert that's doing an interview style with the expert is a much more effective way to keep your audience engaged. Right?
For sure. Yeah. A lot of the times, I mean, the experts will see they're really passionate about their project, or they're even if they're a business owner, even sometimes a business owner is a little bit too passionate, and you can get too technical with the explanations and the minor details. So sometimes having a host to kind of pair up with the expert kind of gives that opportunity to kind of focus on the things that maybe a non-expert might want to focus on. Right.
Yeah. Well, and a good analogy is, and Matt, I know you're a hockey fan. Imagine watching a hockey game with no color commentary.
Yeah.
It's a very different experience. I mean, even if you're at the hockey game, it's totally different than watching it on TV.
Oh, that's the thing. Yeah, a lot of hockey fans, they go to the hockey game and their first hockey game, and they're like, where's the commentary? It's like, it's a totally different viewing experience. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you can have a webinar host that they don't have to be a domain expert at all. Not by any stretch of the imagination. They need to be engaging. They need to be dynamic. They need to keep that audience fully engaged, because if you're running a webinar and you see that your drop off is 80% after 40% of the webinar, then it's time to kind of revisit what it would be, what it takes to keep people engaged. And one of the things, actually, again, I often kind of turn to YouTube. I think YouTubers are highly underrated in terms of how good they are at creating content. I think a lot of, especially, you know, maybe people that don't consume YouTube as much and aren't familiar with creators. Creators on YouTube have this, it's called an interrupt. Mm-hmm. And you see it all the time. It's when something pops out, like a logo will pop out, or the screen will change quickly and a transition will happen quickly. Mm-hmm. It'll go quickly to black and white and back to color. Those mm-hmm. interrupts are intentional, because what it does is it re-engages your audience when they might be slipping away a little bit, right? Another way to keep that stuff going is always have polls within your webinar, if at all possible. Give and try to do it between 7 and 9 minutes. That's where we start to see people kind of start to zone out a little bit in terms of what the topics might be.
Yeah. So
polls, keep them engaged. Inject humor. Tell mm-hmm. a bad dad joke. Right?
Yeah.
Like, why do you
gotta remember your people are watching from here?
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How does NASA plan a party, by the way? You guys probably already forgot this one. They plan it.
You heard it. Come on.
There it is.
Dad jokes. The dad jokes are coming.
Yeah. It's my, you know, one thing about having four kids is you get to do all the things that annoyed you when you were a kid.
Oh.
It's the kind of sweet revenge. So I figure telling bad dad jokes is part of, like, my job in life.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's true. Inject humor into your webinar. Tell some jokes. Ask people questions. Get them involved. Get them answering and chatting. And then, Miguel, to your final point over there is give them downloads that they can take away, that they can grab. They may seem like simple things to you if you're you know, hosting the webinar, but to your audience, they're incredibly useful assets that that they can utilize throughout their throughout that journey, right? And again, great way to brand yourself.
Absolutely. Sure.
I got a few comments on the dad jokes there, but I'll just leave them right there.
Yeah, they're sure getting quite the buzz.
See, yeah. Everyone's engaged.
That's right. April has left the chat due to dad jokes. Dad jokes are the best. Come on. Why do bananas have to put on sunscreen? That's an easy one. Because if they don't, they'll peel.
Funny.
Come on. Come on, you gotta love it. All right. Okay, so let's just wrap this up. There's no way we're going to get into everything. We've Matt, you were right, and Miguel, you were right before I said, we're going to do what's new. And they said, no, we probably don't have time. And I was like, nah, we can do it, and no, we can't.
No time.
So one of the other things just to consider as a final point on your webinar is keep in mind there are several types of webinar formats. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things we see a lot of, especially with people that are new to webinars, is don't just have a PowerPoint slide with a voiceover. That is the least engaging style. Integrate video, integrate your polls, break up your format into smaller 5 to 7 minute segments if possible. I'm going to just throw out a whole bunch of quick hits here. But we can dig into it a little bit more deeply either in future episodes or in a webinar about webinars. Is when you start the webinar, tell people, take a few minutes and tell them where they're starting, how you're going to get to the end point, and circling it all back so it all connects and it all makes sense. That's really important. That's also a writing style. It's a presenting style so that people right out of the gate, they know, oh, this is what I'm going to get. And this is what I can expect. Mm-hmm. And then as you build out your 5 to 7 minute segments, you always circle it back to the first thing that you said so that you're constantly reinforcing your point so that it makes sense to people. In terms of webinar formats, there is obviously the interview style. That would be your interviewer is not the domain expert. They're interviewing the domain expert and they're feeding it a lot like a talk show. Right? Interview. The second one would be what I would call the radio style. So if you listen to, you know, a morning show where there's two DJs talking back and forth and riffing on different ideas, That's another really good way to keep people engaged. A third popular format that we've had a lot of success with is the panel. Panels are really great. And again, I'm not going to go to your flavor of news source, but whether it's CNN or Fox News or CBC or CTV, but if I have three guests on CTV with a host, the panel can then weigh in on different perspectives. So just as an example, if you're a real estate agent, you could have a first-time home buyer. You could have somebody looking to upgrade their second home. You could have empty nesters looking to downgrade and get their perspectives, mm-hmm. right? That's another fantastic way to do it. There's a lot of other formats, but those are three of the most popular formats. So I think we're gonna leave it there. It's 5:02.
So and much can, to talk about.
I know. I can see Miguel staring out the window, looking at it's what is it? Is it 30 degrees out today? It's hot.
Wow. I have AC. I don't even know what outside's like.
You should try to get out there.
Yeah,
I know. I'm pale. We get it, guys.
Yeah, really. I'm outside every second I could possibly get out because my office is in the basement.
So oh, really? Like, yeah.
Trapped. So every time I walk outside, I'm like, oh, man.
Inside changes you.
All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for joining us. And hopefully that was a good introduction to webinars. We might have to revisit this. And yeah, I definitely think we should put it on our roadmap to get our a simulated live and on-demand webinar about webinars.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, guys. So you got any big plans for the weekend?
Not sure. It's supposed to kind of thunderstorm, but yeah, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather the past 2 days, so I think I'm just going to be getting a little bit of rest and crossing my fingers.
You know what you need? You need a bourbon and lemonade.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good right now.
Get bullet bourbon, delicious, and some good lemonade. That'll burn it right out of your system.
Yeah, the alcohol kills the COVID, right? So
absolutely, it does.
And I found a cure, guys.
Okay, guys like George Burns lived to be what, like 106 years old, and he had like a martini every morning.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that's why he lived.
Yeah,
I believe it. All right, well, everybody, stay safe, stay healthy. Stay away from Twitter if you want sanity. Go watch some good stuff on Netflix. There's some good... just one thing about Netflix. Carol Baskin actually got Tiger King's...
Estate.
His whole thing. She won all of his land and all of everything. Crazy.
It's crazy. There's Carol Baskin, man.
Carol Baskin. Not going to get into the number of memes that are floating around about her. So. Hands off. Just wipe it clean.
Yep.
Stay away from all of that kind of drama. Yep. I think next week we might cover the SEO Twitter drama. It's a lot of SEO Twitter drama going on.
Oh, yeah.
It's an interesting little sub niche of Twitter. But anyways, we'll cover that next week or something. All right, guys. Awesome. Have a great weekend. Thanks a lot. And we'll see you next time on episode 134 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing in the Trenches.
Bye.
Bye.
See you.